Science and technology.
Measurement. Mass effect. A better way to clean the world's one true kilogram.
In Sèvres, on the outskirts of Paris, sealed beneath a triplet of bell jars in the laboratories of the Bureau International des Poids et Mesures, sits a small cylinder of platinum-iridium alloy. Put it on a scale and it would weigh 1 kilogram, which is appropriate, since this lump of metal is not just a kilogram, but the kilogram, the ultimate reference standard for the way the Système International d'Unité, SI, or as it is better known, the metric system, measures mass. Scientists like the metric system, partly for its simplicity. Everything is based on powers of 10, which makes calculation easy, and partly for the elegance of its foundations. Of its 7 fundamental units, 6 are defined with reference to unvarying constants of nature. The ampere, electrical current. The candela, luminosity. The second, time. The meter, space. The kelvin, temperature. And the mole, quantity of a substance. The kilogram is unique in that it is defined by reference to a lump of crude, man-made stuff. Besides aesthetic niggles, that fact leads to an important practical problem. The International Prototype Kilogram, or IPK, the technical name for the cylinder in Sèvres, does not in fact keep a constant mass. Over the years, pollutants from the air settle on its surface, causing its mass to rise. Attempts to clean it then cause its mass to fall. As a result, what science understands by a kilogram has varied, but has done so in a way that is, by definition, unmeasurable. The cleaning that attempts to keep the kilogram constant is done by a member of staff at the Bureau, using a combination of steam and a chamois leather cloth soaked in ethanol and ether. But given the sensitivity of modern instruments, which can detect gains or losses of the order of billionths of a kilogram, it must be done properly. Too gentle a rubdown leaves contaminants on the surface. Too vigorous a scrubbing erodes the metal itself. Worse, the IRK is not the only such cylinder in the world. Dozens of replicas exist in official laboratories in many countries. Each must be cleaned to the same exacting standards if it is to remain a true copy of the French original. In practice, that has often meant shipping the whole lot back to France so that the same person can scrub them all down. Now though, Peter Cumpson and Naoko Sano, a pair of researchers at the University of Newcastle in England, reckon they have come up with a better way. In a paper just published in Metrologia, they describe the results of a method that combines traditional washing with a technique adapted from the chip manufacturing business, which employs a combination of ultraviolet light and the ozone that such light synthesizes from the air to strip pollutants away. The idea of using ultraviolet light was first proposed back in the 1990s, says Dr. Cumpson, but has yet to be adopted. Metrologists, he notes, are rightly rather conservative people. This latest paper, which reports the results of using the method on strips of platinum-iridium alloy, the IPK and its replicas being far too precious for experimentation, shows that the method does a good job of removing the carbon-based gunk that settles onto the weights from the air. Importantly, says Dr. Cumpson, unlike a manual rubdown, his procedure can easily be standardised, and the kit necessary to perform it is cheap and widely available, allowing laboratories around the world to keep their own kilogram replicas clean. It is not, however, perfect. Besides atmospheric muck, researchers reckon that other things are altering the masses of the world's kilograms. One significant effect, says Dr. Cumpson, is contamination with mercury. The likely source is not atmospheric pollutants, but lab accidents. Say you drop a thermometer and it shatters, he says. A couple of blobs of mercury fall through the floorboards and evaporate slowly over the years. Some of that mercury is then deposited on the kilograms. Unlike the atmospheric junk, which simply encrusts the surface, mercury seeps into microscopic flaws in the cylinder's surfaces created by the polishing process. Once it gets in, it's in there for good. You can't remove it, says Dr. Cumpson. It is problems like this, and the fact that the world's kilograms are changing in mass at different rates, that are behind a push to bring the kilogram into line with the rest of the SI, and to define it purely with reference to natural constants. Next year, the International Committee on Weights and Measures will discuss whether to tie it to something called Planck's constant, a number in quantum mechanics that relates the energy level of a photon to its wavelength. A super-sensitive electromechanical scale called a watt balance could then be used to define the kilo with reference to Planck's constant, finally liberating the SI from its reliance on fallible artifacts. That is the theory, at least. But watt balances are fiendishly complicated bits of kit. There are only a handful in the world, a situation that is unlikely to change for the foreseeable future. This means that although the kilo will in theory be defined by an abstract constant, in practice so-called transfer standards will still be needed for the many countries without the nous or the cash to run a watt balance of their own. Translated into English, the upshot is that outside the most advanced countries, lumps of metal will continue to be used to define the kilo, although they will probably be made of gold rather than platinum and iridium. These will be susceptible to exactly the same sorts of contamination that plague the current generations of kilogram. Luckily, Dr. Cumpson's method ought to work on them too.
The Richard Casement Internship. We invite applications for the 2013 Richard Casement Internship. We are looking for a would-be journalist to spend 3 months of the summer working on the newspaper in London, writing about science and technology. Our aim is more to discover writing talent in a science student or scientist than scientific aptitude in a budding journalist. Applicants should write a letter introducing themselves and an original article of about 600 words that they think would be suitable for publication in the science and technology section. They should be prepared to come for an interview in London or Washington, D.C. at their own expense. A small stipend will be paid to the successful candidate. Applications must reach us by February 1st. These should be sent to casement2013@economist.com.